Chapter 1. The day of the tornado began gray and dreary. One of those days where you don't want to do anything but lounge around and sleep while it mists and drizzles and spits. All of the classrooms looked dark and shadowy and gross, and there was no energy in the building whatsoever. And all of the teachers were practically begging someone, anyone, to answer one of their questions, but when they turned their backs to write on the whiteboard, they were stifling yawns of their own because they felt it too. Spring is like that around Elizabeth, Missouri. One day it's really beautiful and sunny and the birds outside your window wake you up. They're tweeting so loud, and the next day it's chilly and windy and you can hear gusts lashing up against the side of your house and buzzing against the blinds of the laundry room window that has never been very airtight. And then the next day it does nothing but rain and drum up earthworms onto the sidewalks, only to shrivel them with the next day's sun and wind. Welcome to the Midwest, Mom used to say, where the weather keeps you guessing and you're almost always sure to hate it. We made complaining about the weather a full-time job in Elizabeth. It was the one thing we could count on to blame for our migraines and our blue funks and the reason we overslept and our bad hair days. The unpredictable weather could derail even the best day. When the final bell rang that day, Miss Soper, my language arts teacher, hollered out, "Quiz tomorrow on Bless the Beasts, people. Got some thunderstorms coming in tonight. Perfect reading weather. Hint, hint." And sure enough, when we walked out to the bus, the clouds were pressing in on us, thickening up and making it seem much more like evening than 3:15 in the afternoon. "Soper's quizzes are stupid," Danny said, her hip brushing up against mine as we slid down the bus line. "I've never studied for one, and I always get A's." "Quiz tomorrow, bless the beasts, people, hint, hint," I mimicked because I did a pretty good impression of Miss Soper, and we both laughed. "I already read most of it anyway," I said. I peered over my shoulder. Colby, my neighbor, was several steps behind me, carrying his skateboard as usual. I waved to him, and he waved back. "Where's Jane?" I asked Danny. "Had to stay after for orchestra rehearsal. Better her than me. I've been ready to go home since lunch. I can't imagine having to hang out in this prison for another 3 hours. But you know Jane and her violin. She's happy about it."
"She's going to die with that violin permanently attached to her hand," I added.
Jane was ultra-devoted to her instrument, and Danny and I mercilessly teased her about it. But we both knew that without Jane, our trio would never be complete. She was musical and scrappy, and her hair managed to make frizz look cool. We'd all been friends since the 7th grade musical. Jane was in the orchestra, Danny was the lead, and I happily knocked around in the pitch-black lighting booth with my clipboard and headset. It was sort of a metaphor for our lives together, when I thought about it. Danny was the beauty, front and center, lapping up the spotlight and the applause. I was the support crew, uncomfortably hiding my pudge and shyness beneath a loose t-shirt. And without Jane, neither of us had any reason to be on stage at all. We got on the bus and bumped our way home. In keeping with the rest of the day, everyone seemed sleepy and subdued. The sky continued to darken, and the wind picked up, blowing some of the newly budding flowers almost flat against the ground. Danny and I sat in weary silence, Danny texting some guy from her economics class and me watching the neighborhoods roll by. The windows were open, and the warm breeze felt good against my face. On Thursday nights, I had exactly 1 hour between the time I got off the bus and the time Mom got home with Marin. Just enough time to claim a snack and the TV, but not nearly enough to decompress to a level where I could handle Marin's excessive energy. Something about preschool amped her up, made her loud and squeaky, so she practically vibrated around the room. It was my least favorite part of the afternoon, that space between when Mom and Marin bulldozed through the front door and when they left for Marin's dance class, leaving me to start dinner. That day, Marin tumbled into the living room, already wearing her orange and black leotard with a rhinestone collar, her face sticky from a popsicle or whatever it was they gave her at school. She hopped over to the couch and immediately began bugging me about the East Coast swing. Mom, still in her work.